Today we're going to continue our study on noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible. And by noteworthy, I mean that verses that stand out, that we want to spend a little bit of time on. Amen? So we're going to begin today. We've been in the book of Ecclesiastes. And we want to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 20. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 20, and the Word of God has this to say. Curse not the king, know not in thy thought, and curse not the rich in thy bedchamber. For a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. In this verse here is where we get our expression. You've heard people often say that a little birdie told me, amen. Look in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Chapter 11, Ecclesiastes, verses 1 through 6. The Word of God has this to say. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to 7, and also to 8. For thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth, and if the tree fall toward the south, or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. And thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. Even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. What I want us to see about this passage is this. The bread mentioned here is the word of God, is it not? Jesus told us, remember there when he was tempted of the devil in the book of Matthew? The book of Matthew, chapter 4, I believe it was, Matthew chapter 4. Matthew 4 in verse number 4. Notice what Jesus said about the word of God, amen? Matthew 4, verse 4, Jesus said this. But he answered and he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. In the waters mentioned here in this passage are the lost people of the world. So what we want to see here, that's the ministry of the word of God. Sowing thy seed by faith. And not being deterred by circumstances. It may take years, as it says in our passage, after many days. But you will reap if you will sow. Amen. Now let's continue and let us look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12. In verses 13 and 14, the Word of God has this to say. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. What I want us to see here is this. Judgment is coming, and every secret thing will be weighed. Along with these verses, I want us to look at some good references to go along with these verses. Let's look first, if you would, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 8. Luke 8, we get to Luke 8, look at verse 17. The Word of God has this to say, for nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. And then notice in Revelation chapter 20, Revelation chapter 20, if you're listening today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you die without trusting Him as your Savior, this is what you'll face. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 and following. The Word of God says, "And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead, which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." And then one last cross reference we want to look at is in the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 2 with me. And when you get to Romans 2, we want to look at verse number 16. The Word of God says this: "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." Amen. Now let's continue. In the Song of Solomon, in chapter 2, verse number 1, notice the Word of God has this to say: "I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys." See that? The lily of the valleys, plural. Plural, amen. It's lily of the valleys. Valley is plural. The lily of the valleys is Jesus Christ. Unlike most hymnals have it, valley in the singular, amen. We have a good cross reference, a good reference to go along with this verse. And I want us to turn to 1 Kings with me. And in 1 Kings, I want us to look at chapter 20, 1 Kings 20, verse 28. The Word of God has this to say: "And there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, Thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, the Lord God is the God of the hills, but He is not the God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thy hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord." Amen to that. Then in Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, we read this: "The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe, or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away." Although a strict application of the text could cause some problems, a loose application clearly points to the rapture of the church. Christ is coming, sounding in his voice, and he calls his bride away. Let me give you some references to look up on your own. John chapter 10, verse 3, John 10, 3. John chapter 12, verses 28 and 29. John 12, 28, 29. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, Revelation 4, 1. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 and 18. And now let's turn and look at some noteworthy verses here in the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 18. Notice the Word of God says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." This is a great salvation verse that every Christian should have memorized. Amen to that. "Come now, Let us reason together. God gives every human being on the face of the earth an invitation. He says, come. I want to reason with you. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. And he says, though your sins be as scarlet, red, amen, scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Yes, my dear friend listening today, the Lord Jesus Christ has come. He wants to reason with you. He wants to cleanse you of all your sins. He wants to make them, as he says here, white as snow, like wool. Amen. And you can have that cleansing. You can know for sure that your sins have been forgiven, all of them, past, present, and future, and that you have a home in heaven if you'll but just come. As Christ invites you to come right now, receive him by faith into your heart. Amen. And you'll have the blessings as mentioned in our verse today. Your sins will be removed forever and ever and ever. Look at Isaiah chapter 2 in verses 1 through 4. The word of God has this to say. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into the pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against the nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Amen. This passage, my dear listeners, is on the millennial kingdom of Christ, a time when the world enjoys peace under the rule of the Prince of Peace, as he's called in Isaiah 9, chapter 9, verse 6. This verse 4 has been taken out of context and used by the United Nations in their ongoing push for gun control, courtesy of the Russians, amen. That's it. Someday soon, the Lord will return, amen, and set up his kingdom. He'll judge for 1,000 years on this earth, rule with a rod of iron. His judgment will be righteous judgment, amen. There'll be no wars, my friend. The only time that there will be peace on this earth is when the Lord returns. All the agreements, all the covenants, all these peace treaties will not hold. We'll not have peace until the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And he's coming. He's coming back. Are you looking? Are you looking at the eastern sky when it'll break for his return? Amen. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. For behold, the Lord of hosts, doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet and the prudent and the ancient, the captain of 50s, and the honorable man and the counselor and the cunning artificer, in the eloquent orator. And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. We want to notice some of the signs of national decline here. A shortage of food, water, and wise leaders. and an increase in bratty, immature leaders who oppress people. Amen? That's the signs of national decline. Now, Isaiah chapter 5 and verse number 20, the Word of God has this to say, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Well, then it's a woe to most all news anchors and reporters, and woe to most politicians, and woe to the faculty of most educational institutions, and woe to the tenderfoot preacher who make it a habit to sugarcoat sin in order to keep the attendance and offering up. Amen. There's a segment in our country, amen, that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Amen. There are people in this country that want to destroy our country. Amen. Our country was founded, our founding fathers, amen, founded on biblical principles. Amen. And when we turn away from that, oh boy, look out. We're in a heap of trouble. Let's pray that our nation turns back to God, my friends. Don't listen to the alt-left. Amen. These folks that are out there protesting and want to rip down this country. Amen. Trust in the Lord. Look to Him. What does the Word of God say? Depend on the Word of God. Depend on Jesus Christ. And we say, woe, woe to all our politicians. Amen. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. The Word of God says this: "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Here is a prophetic reference many centuries before the birth of Christ. But what I want you to see in this is some of the new translations attack the virgin birth by changing the word virgin to damsel or maiden. Matthew, one of the gospel writers, had a different opinion, did he not? Look at what he said in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. He said, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Amen to that. Now, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. Isaiah 8, verse 20. The Word of God says, "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." Amen to that. Amen. The Word of God is perfect. The Word of God is the perfect standard of measuring right from wrong. Traditions, customs, popularity don't count. The issue is what saith the Scriptures. And again, we read, did we not hear? In verse 20, "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." We have a lot of so-called prophets today. Amen. The social gospel, social and wealth gospel, how to better ourselves. But you know what's something? They're empty. According to the word, there is no light in these false prophets, these false preachers. Amen. Because they're not preaching the word of God. You want the truth? You want light? It's in the word of God. When I say the word of God, my dear friends, I want you to know it's found in this King James Bible. People say you shouldn't make an issue out of it. I make an issue out of it. Because the Word of God, if you don't have the Word of God, what do you have? What is your final authority? A lot of people don't want to have the Word of God. They want to say it was in the originals. Well, where are they? They're gone. So that means they can be their own final authority. My final authority and your final authority should be this Word of God, the words of Almighty God, as God not only inspired them, but he promised to preserve them, and he's preserved them in the King James Bible. Amen. Alrighty, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. I'm sure you're familiar with these verses. Let's read them. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increases of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Amen. This is a great passage that everyone reads at Christmas. Notice that the Son is also the Mighty God and Everlasting Father. Amen. And as we look at a cross-reference, let's look at John chapter 10 with me. In John 10, when we get there, I want us to look at verse number 30, John 10, 30. And the Word of God has this to say in John 10, 30. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Amen and amen. All right, Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11, in verses 1 to 12, we're not going to read them, but what I want you to know about this passage deals with the curse on nature being lifted during the millennial kingdom of Christ, thus making things similar to the Garden of Eden. Also, I want you to look at, when you have time to go along with this passage, what it says in Romans chapter 8, verses 18 to 25. Amen. All right, Isaiah 14 with me, Isaiah 14, verse 7. And the Word of God has this to say in Isaiah 14, verse 7. We read, the whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Now, you can tell right now the context. It's not happening now, amen, what we just read, but it will be sometime in the future in the millennial reign of Christ. That's what you've got to remember. When you're reading through the Old Testament prophets, you've got to remember it's speaking to about Israel, things that happen historically to Israel, but also it's prophetic about events that are going to happen in the future. Amen. Again, this rest that it speaks about, that would be the coming millennial rest. The earth is going to have a rest for 1,000 years. It's the millennial rest that's also mentioned in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews with me, chapter number 4 and verse 9, where it says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Amen. The millennial rest, which is spiritualized out of existence by most commentators. Now, there's obviously a spiritual rest implied in places like Hebrews 4, 9, in Matthew 11, 28. But such passages also point to the millennial kingdom, where the whole earth is at rest for 1,000 years. We're in Isaiah 14. Let's look at verses 12 through 15. Let's look at this passage. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Now this passage deals with the fall of Lucifer, a word that is omitted by most new translations. Some even print that the morning star fell from heaven. If you don't see a problem with that, then you need to spend more time in the book and less time in front of the television and the computer. Now, a companion verse is in Ezekiel 28. Let's turn over there to Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28, and when we get to Ezekiel 28, let's begin in verse 12. Ezekiel 28, in verse number 12. Notice, we read this. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealeth up the sum of full wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. It's describing what Satan looked like here in the Garden of Eden. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mount of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. He was, amen, the anointed cherub, we see here, and had he resided in the mount of God. Thine heart, he says in verse 17, was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before the kings that they may behold thee. The devil, Satan, the Lucifer, must have gone by a mirror and fell in love with himself and said, look at, oh my, is me. Look at how beautiful that I am and how powerful. I can be like God. I can be better than God. Thou hast defiled the sanctuary, thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thy iniquities, by the iniquity of traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. I will devour thee. I will bring thee to the ashes upon the earth in the sight of all men that behold thee. And all they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. And thou shalt be terror, and never shalt thou be anymore. That's what's going to happen to the devil. Amen. In both passages, God addresses Satan through evil Gentile kings, much like Jesus, amen, addressed Satan through the Apostle Peter. Well, we've put a lot on your plate today, amen. I hope that the study will be a blessing to you, and that on your own, to try to come up and look at some of your own noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible. Till next time, I hope you'll join me as we continue our journey through the Bible as we look at noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible.